Our scripture lesson is taken from the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 12, and starting at verse 44. That scripture that Sharon used for the opening, you may remember. I remember what I preached last week. I don't know if you do or not. But John says, and just before the text that we have today, John had said that the scripture text in Isaiah, that 700 years before Jesus' ministry, that Isaiah saw Jesus. That thing, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. That was Jesus, according to what's just earlier here in the text. So the whole of John chapter 12 is, who is Jesus and why don't people believe in him? And what following Jesus, what it should mean in our lives. So we're picking up at verse 44. Jesus cried out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them on the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. May God add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. This is a great portion of scripture that is part of that huge amount of scripture that teaches against cheap grace. Now, grace is undeserved love, and it's free. And let's face it, folks, I'm not the only one getting old here. And I'm not the only one shocked by looking in those convex mirrors. We all feel a touch of mortality, and if we look in our hearts, it's when we're reading the Word of God, we find some selfishness there, and we find problems with ourselves, and there's nothing that we can do to impress God Almighty. We're not smart enough. We're not strong enough. We're not good enough. And he loves us anyway. That's grace. It's undeserved love. But there's always been a confusion about grace, which resurfaces generation after generation after generation. And that is, God loves me despite my sin, so I might as well just keep going on sinning because he's going to love me anyway. That's the idea of cheap grace. God, just do what I always did and just say I'm sorry. And I do it again and I say I'm sorry. And I do it again and I say I'm sorry. I tried that with my grandmother when she was watching me when I was a little kid. It didn't work out too good. My grandmother put pepper on my tongue because it didn't leave a mark. She said, if you say you're sorry, it means you don't want to do it again. It means you don't want to do it again. And Jesus says some amazing things about himself. Now, there have been a debate among Advent Christians about the character of Christ. And some are openly use the word Trinity, even though it's not a Bible word. It describes a lot of things in the Bible. It says there's a threeness, a real threeness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's a real oneness. And those things go hand in hand all through the Scriptures. And we sum all that teaching up about the threeness and the oneness with the word Trinity. That word's not in the Bible, but most I guess Advent Christians, if you read John chapter 12, whether they use that word or not, they're going to acknowledge the things that Jesus says about himself. And here he says in verse 44, whoever believes in me does not believe in me alone, but also in the one who sent me. So he's saying, to believe in me is the same thing as believing the Father. If you believe that, that's pretty good. Right? That's awesome. You believe in Jesus, same thing as believing in the Father. He says in here, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. That's awesome. And like it says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. By Jesus, we see God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. He says, when you've heard me speak, you've heard just what my Father told me to say. So when I speak, I'm speaking the words of the Father. In fact, if you look at the first chapter of John, when John begins describing Jesus and his ministry, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's described as the Word. That communication is that one by whom we know the Father. And he is unique in heaven and earth. This is the, according to the world, this is with promise. This is the problem about Jesus. Some people want to just say, well, Jesus was a good teacher, but was he, when you see him, you see the Father? When the words he speaks are the Father's words, when you honor him, Jesus said in another place, when you honor me, you honor the Father. If you dishonor me, you dishonor the Father. And so there's this wonderful teaching in this chapter about who he is, and he is God the Son. That's who went to the Calvary's tree for us in our place, God the Son. And the idea is, in this chapter, not that we understand who Jesus is so that we can do a check mark on our theological statement. Trinitarian. I believe all the right stuff. But it's so that we may honor him and be obedient to him. Grace is not cheap. It's how we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. But having been bought by grace, we strive for and seek to have an obedience that comes by grace. Grace is not our means whereby we can continue to sin and sin and sin and say, oh, he'll forgive us anyway. Grace is the means whereby we say, I'm going to keep in this fight. I'm going to keep going. Now, I'm not under the law, and the Bible teaches that in Christ Jesus, we are in grace. And we're not under the law. We're not saved by how good we are. And we're not lost by how bad we are. We're saved whether or not we're in Jesus Christ and trusting in him. But being in Jesus Christ means that we're going to walk in the light and not in the darkness. And we understand that there are real consequences to sin. Now, when I was in grade school, there was a singing group that came to the little Princeton Baptist church I grew up in called the Gospelaires. I don't know if anybody remembers the Gospelaires or not. That's ancient history. Okay? They were a singing group that I think they were on Sunday afternoons, or I don't exactly remember, but they were from Fredericton, New Brunswick, and they were a big deal for a TV quartet to come to the Little Princeton Baptist Church. I never saw such a crowd in the church before. I had to sit up in the balcony, and beside me was a fellow. It's the only time I ever knew him to come to church. His name was Dean. And the Gospelaires sang us this song, and they gave an invitation, and their invitation like was, if you want to have all your sins forgiven, just raise your hand. And so my friend from school, he raised his hand. Now later on, I thought he was saying, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. And I came, and when I talking with him later on, I came to find out, I found out that what he meant was, I don't want any consequences for my behavior. That's what he didn't want to follow Jesus Christ. He just, like the people I met in Africa, I preached a message of repentance in a church in Africa, and this couple came to the altar and they said, we've never heard this before. They'd been to church week after week, and they'd been to the altar week after week after week after week after week. And because the pastor had always said in his invitations, if anybody wants a blessing, come to the altar. If anybody doesn't want any consequences, then come to the altar. If anybody wants God to be like a genie, that you rub the magic lamp and you get what you wish, then come to the altar. And I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus says, I am just like my Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And when you see me, you see that I am the light of the world. And light shows us what's there. You can't walk in darkness. And that has an impact on us in our lives. It shows us the reality of who we are. It doesn't mean that suddenly we're going to do some kind of great work and now we're cleaning ourselves up so much God must like us. God loves us just the way we are. But when we walk with Him, we see ourselves just the way we are. It's a funny thing about light. I can remember when I was at Big Lake, my first year at Big Lake, they had one night after the campfire, they had a pizza party. And being not very smart, do you think I ate a little pizza or a lot of pizza just before going to bed? It's sickening to think how much pizza I used to be able to eat. And I ate all the pizza that I could hold because it seemed like there was a limitless ocean of pizza. And then in the middle of the night, I threw up in the cabin. And it has a distinctive sound, which I'm not going to repeat for you. And my counselor said, did someone throw up? I had choices. None of them were good. I was embarrassed to be such a glutton that I would throw up in the middle of the night. And I could have said, no, everything's good. But there was still a problem. And when he turned on, he didn't wait for an answer, he turned on the light and there was the problem. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when we step into fellowship with him, then we see all sorts of things. It's like when you start walking with Christ, or when you surrender to Christ, it's, if you could imagine that you're a hoarder. Have you, any of you ever seen the thing on TV about hoarders? And when you come to Christ, it doesn't mean that your house is cleaned out. It means that you've signed the deed of your house over to Jesus. And so when Jesus moves in, he's there and all the mess is there. It's not going to get cleaned up overnight, right? But you belong to Christ. And so when he says, it's time to get rid of the cottage cheese containers. You don't say, Lord, those are my cottage cheese. I've watched some of those hoarding things. You ever see that? When they go to say to the people, all right, let's get rid of these cottage cheese containers. I've been saving those for a long time. Those are mine. And we know when we just surrender to Christ, We know we're not going to be all cleaned up or made perfect. We know our salvation comes because, not from something we've done, but because of what he did on the cross, the blood that he shed. We know, but we know that he owns the cottage cheese containers and everything else that's in our lives. So that when he says, I want you to forgive, you know there's no saying to him, I didn't sign up for that. Because when you were baptized, you signed up for everything, baby. You said he is going to be king. He's going to be king of my life. And I'm going to let him make changes in my life. One of the first step, if you ever come to celebrate recovery, the first step is to deal with denial. It's basically you take the light of God's word and you shine it in your life and you say, I'm going to say that the things in my life that are destructive, I'm going to own them. And I'm going to say, this is destructive. That's the first step. That's the light. Jesus said, I'm the light. So you say, I don't treat people very well at work. And I've always got an excuse of why I don't need to treat them well. And I know, I found out, the Bible says, do to others as you'd have them do to you. And I've owned Jesus, and I haven't done very well. Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to be different? Jesus says, I didn't come to judge the world, but that doesn't mean judgment isn't coming. And as we follow Christ, he makes changes in our lives. And I thank the Lord that by his grace, when we surrender, he forgives us for our sins. And I thank the Lord that he calls us away from the sin that is so corrosive in our lives, our selfishness, which is so destructive to our relationships. I thank the Lord that I don't have to eat a whole pizza anymore. Can I get an amen? Amen. I thank the Lord. He's changing me. I thank the Lord that he's changing you. And I thank the Lord that we can be in a group of people. We're all basically the same. We're broken people trying to help broken people, trying to own the truth, trying to follow Christ, accepting his grace, recognizing him for who he is, not worrying so much about the terminology that we use. Shall we say the Trinity or not? But that we be surrendered to Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To do what he says. To do what he wants. Because he's called us. He's called us to the good life. And the word is not hard to understand. I was listening to Jordan Peterson, who's on YouTube. He's a psychiatrist. And he was speaking at a college campus and they had a Q&A. And some college student stood up and said, well, what do you think about sex? And he said, well, it used to be easy. People just understood or assumed that sex outside the context of marriage was wrong. But now, and then he went on for 15 minutes trying to describe what should be the guidelines for people in this day and age. And the more he talked, you could see the more confused people got. Okay. It's not hard to understand what the Word of God says about lying. It's not hard to see what the Word of God says about hatred. We've got the Ten Commandments. And I thank the Lord, I'm not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, but I thank the Lord we've got the Ten Commandments because even in grace, I need to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I need to honor my mother and my father. Those are blessings to me. And those commandments are redeemed by grace because my salvation is not dependent upon them. I'm free to enjoy them. And they can be a blessing to me and a blessing to you also. And it's my prayer for our church that we walk in His grace, that we seek to live according to His will, and that we share His grace with all those that are around us.